Hello and welcome to today's KW Feedcast. Today you've got myself, James Barker, and I'm joined by Chris Pickles from our procurement team.
Hi everyone.
Today we've come into a pretty green board, pretty much across the screen, really. At the moment, sterling being the big weakness, both against the dollar and the euro, which is underpinning a lot of the greenness to the market today. Plus over the weekend, the escalations of the geopolitics around both the Black Sea and in the Middle East. Again, poor Odessa taking the brunt of it over there. How's that affected the grains, Chris?
Yeah, so there's been a lot going on in that part of the world recently. It certainly seems that there's been this ongoing tit for tat between Ukraine and Russia. You got Ukraine firing missiles at the Russian oil refineries and then Russia retaliating by bombing the export facilities, specifically Odessa. For a while, that's kind of been business as usual, though, as despite these bombings on the port infrastructure, Ukraine have managed to keep significant amounts of grains flowing. There's been a bit of a slowdown in recent weeks with the escalation. It certainly hasn't put Ukraine off trying to sell the stuff. Whether they're actually managing to ship the grains on a continuing basis, we'll get kind of updated numbers towards the end of the month, but it hasn't stopped them trying to sell it. And it's noteworthy that last week there was a tender for wheat into North Africa, and Ukraine won that tender with probably 10 euros, I think, $10 cheaper than Russia on the day. So they've still got significant amounts of grain to sell out of that part of the world. And despite the ongoing kind of damage to infrastructure, they're fighting hard to sell grains out. Looking at the markets, wheat markets in the last week, well, there was broadly a sideways to slightly upwards movement on the prices. There wasn't really any significant jumps. It was kind of bobbing along. We probably were up a couple of pounds on the week. All of a sudden, this afternoon, as we're recording this podcast, we've seen significant rallies. London's up £5 as we speak, £5.50. Chicago wheat up in excess of $20. And Matif wheat in France up in excess of €9. So we've now gone from a situation where we were moving sideways to probably a 10-day move has occurred in one day all of a sudden. Part of that is due to this escalation of the missiles landing in Ukraine, and also the weather's certainly not helped that either.
Yeah, and obviously we've got a pickup as well with the currency, with the potential for our interest rates at the moment. So it looks, Chris, like suddenly we're finding that value to level us out in the export market as well.
Yeah, the currency is certainly not helping things. Weakness in the pound's obviously exacerbating any moves that are happening on the exchanges. We're but a follower, small island in the grand scheme of things when it comes to these cereal markets. And yeah, we're certainly not being helped by currency in that regard. And as I say, the weather's not helping either. Domestically, we saw a pretty dry weekend here in the UK. I think spring plantings will have moved along nicely, especially on the barley. But at the same time, it's quite chilly and really rather cold. I think Saturday morning, anybody who was up early will have seen that there was a frost on many cars. There was some patches of the grass around much of the north of England, that's for sure. That hasn't helped things. And I think there's certainly also been widespread cold weather across much of Europe. Poland, Germany and into northern France have seen significant frost over the last couple of days. That will not be helping things and will have gone some way to further damaging crops, which were really not in a good place to start with. I think the French winter wheat crop was rated 64% good excellent recently, which compared to last year, we were at a 93% good excellent. So significantly worse. And when you've got sort of as the crops coming out of dormancy and really starting to kick into its growth period, when we're getting cold weather and frost damage, it will not be helping yields at all and further adding to the bullish sentiment in these markets.
Yeah, I think your farmers are definitely going to want to hold on to their old crop at the moment, aren't they? There's going to be, I think the general sentiment is lack of selling at the moment with that premium going into the winter. I did think that we'd see that old crop price just kind of edging towards the new crop price, really. But at the moment, kind of trading in a linear fashion. And as you say earlier, Chris, both the May futures and the NOV futures up between £5 and £5.50 at the time of discussion. So yeah, it's not helping with farmer selling at all, really, is it?
No, it certainly isn't. Farmers, they really don't like the prices at the minute on the old crop, nor do they like the prices on the new crop. But the new crop has obviously got the underlying issues in regards to the conditions out there in the field and how much they've managed to get planted as well. You've got roughly a, well, on any given day, something between 20, 23 to probably £25 carry in the market between the May London futures and the November new crop futures. That carry in the market's kind of incentivizing anybody who can hold on to stocks to hold on to them and roll them into the new crop. It's likely we're going to see a significant volume of old crop rolled to new crop this year in the UK. And what that's serving to do is just push the premiums for the nearby delivery up, all but daily, really. To tease physical material out of the market at the moment is proving very difficult. And farmers are just holding on to stocks wherever they can. I think on the forwards, the merchant trade are happy to price against futures. They can discount it for the kind of harvest period, or they'll work on a carry into the winter. But on the nearby, it's very much a situation where if the merchant trade cannot buy and originate physical material from farm, then they don't want to know. They don't want to sell it. And it's making it very difficult to buy in, especially some peripheral areas of the country, Southwest Wales, Northern England in particular.
Yeah, so I'd say it's a difficult market at the moment, Chris. You're kind of thinking, you're tempted when you see these days of £5 up that there'll be a bit of a retracement and a dip day and possibly a little opportunity to buy there. But I'm just a little bit concerned at the moment looking at these markets that dip day of a couple of pounds is going to come after we've seen the increase of around, £10 or so at the moment. So it's a difficult one to keep in, but I'm still definitely advocating getting a decent chunk of cover on where you can on the cereals market at the moment. But we have seen a good uptake in that.
Yeah, we have been putting a lot of business on probably throughout the last 6 months or so, really. I think I'd rather own these cereal markets at the minute. And when I say cereal markets, there's a number of products interlinked with these, obviously barley, but then there's many co-products that are linked as well. You could be waiting for a down day, but if you've gone through five or six up days where we've gone up a couple of pounds on each day, then really you're fighting against the current and you're better off just owning things when you get the opportunity. Currency's certainly not helping. We've seen opportunities where wider markets have moved downwards, but due to currency, UK prices haven't quite reacted the same way. Certainly, when you look at the fact that the farmers just simply don't want to sell at the minute, they don't like the prices, and we've got many fundamental new crop factors that are driving prices higher. I think I would just want to keep adding to coverage wherever I can at the moment.
So I think there we're seeing on the grains, we're joined up there by saying we do want to continue this cover where you can, but yeah, difficult market. So I think don't let it slip away from you is kind of where I'm heading there. But move on to the soya and the corns. We've not seen too much fundamental change in the market at the moment, particularly kind of been a little bit of trading rather in the spread trading of the oil and the beans, rather than any particular change in the fundamentals to the meal, mainly due to the oil out of the Middle East and the conflict that's going on there and the potential escalation of all that. So, but what you said there, Chris, on the grains, been tracking steadily sideways on the meal. If you actually look at the market price, you can see we've kind of been trading anywhere between 3.35 and 3.45 on a dollar level for the meal. So it's a pretty tricky one in there. Obviously, currency is really affecting it. We'd be down to those kind of levels again if we were still trading at that 1.27 against the dollar. So yeah, possibly just seeing that we've hit the bottom of that market for the time being, but still looks, if you give yourself a 24-month window, we're still heavily towards the bottom of this market at the moment. Bank of England's suggestion in those interest rates just working against at the moment, but selling out of the pound. So I do think on the soya, the fundamentals are still there for a little bit of retracement. Do think we could see that come to the market at some point. We do just need to let things settle down a little bit on the soya. And there's obviously excellent crops due and coming in, but unfortunately into that unknown EU regulation piece at the moment for January 25 onwards. So it's one thing we've got to get hold of the material and watch this space for that next kind of 6 months, really. Considering this legislation is going to be coming in on the 1st of January, we're getting very close to it now in real terms for a legislation of this magnitude to really take effect. So I think things are going to be pretty volatile as we head into that. On the other side of things, with rate meal that has been available through until July 25, and we have seen a good uptake on that. Again, the general market trend has been that prices have come down quite significantly. So keeping in on line with rate meal really has been the go-to, and getting that cover on for your proteins through till July 25 really. And we've seen only a little bits done for May, June and July next year, but certainly through till April, that is the protein you can get hold of. Just coming back to the present with the meal sites, both Erith and Liverpool showing us pretty much sold out on old crop now. There's various levels available for June and July, but things are extremely tight. So we do have Expeller available for old crop from Stratford-upon-Avon, which is kind of a little bit of a last lifeline at the moment. A very good opportunity. We'll be very competitive on price against the market. So we do have opportunity therefore to move materials. As I said, we've taken on some really good cover for next winter. Again, mainly because that soya is unavailable to buy. So keeping that foot just a little bit on the accelerator there with cover seems to be the way forward. Again, on other mid proteins such as Revergo, tight 1 week and then available the next week and then sold out the week after. We just seem to be going through that little patch at the moment as we go through the ethanol market. So it's just, yeah, as I say, just a little bit challenging at the moment, making sure I've got that cover on. Seeing anything on the blend side, Chris, on the proteins?
Yeah, we're continuing to pick up nice little bits of business at the minute on the blends, on the forwards as well. I think there's an appetite to buy the winter, especially on some of the proteins, with a few wanting to get stuck into the soya, but of course at the moment can't for anything beyond December 24 due to EU legislation, of course, that we're waiting on being confirmed. There's been quite a bit of rape meal bought though. Obviously, as an alternative protein source, that it's something that we obviously can trade in the absence of the soya at the moment. So there's been quite a lot of rape meal traded at our end as well, and in the wider market, just as a bit of a soya hedge. There's been a bit of an easing in the markets, but I think as the prices have moved higher, the further forwards, they just want to kind of own a bit really, and just take that opportunity while it's there.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I think we're definitely in that camp of having a little bit of cover off. I still do think there is potential there with the extant South American crops, just to have a little bit of a retracement in these markets. We've obviously got a lot of volatility around at the moment, not wanting to be caught out on the wrong side, but kind of that target for me on the soyas is anywhere kind of between 345 and 355 again export. I'm probably trading £10 above that at the moment, so just want to keep an eye on there, but certainly an advocate of having proteins, which obviously KT dairy rations looked after. A little bit of a sidewards hop, Chris, onto the corn market. Seen a little bit of mixed bag from the USDA report last week between the Buenos Aires and Rosario grain exchanges. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's interesting you say hop, because it seems to be leaf hoppers are the main problem with the corn crop at the minute. Last week we had an update from the USDA. The Argentinian crop at the moment, they've got pegged at 55 million tonnes. And up till now, they've had pretty good conditions. Soil moisture's pretty optimal. They've managed to get the crop planted in good time. And everything's off to a pretty good start. But now, out of the blue last week, both the Bayesian Rosario exchanges, who are on the ground there in South America, dropped their Argentinian corn crops down significantly. We're talking 6-7 million tonnes down to 50 million tonnes. And it transpires that leaf hoppers are spreading a corn stunt disease. Now, these leaf hoppers, I think they're little beetles of some kind or another, but they're carrying this disease with them, that when they're living on and eating, I presume, the corn, it's spreading this stunt disease, which is spreading quite rapidly by the sounds of things in South America, and is having quite a significant impact, or is likely to have a significant impact on the yield down there. At the moment, it's just Bayesian Rosario that, as we say, have dropped it. USDA have left their crop as it is. But we would not be at all surprised if in future reports, maybe the May update, we see a downgrade of the crop. And it's one to keep a very close eye on over the growing period, shall we say, that how that crop plays out and just where it ends up being. It's obviously got the potential to be a significant bullish kind of news story in the market and to send prices higher. But at the moment, we haven't quite seen that kind of come through.
Yeah, I'm surprised, if I'm being honest, Chris, to see that at the moment. Very little reaction in the prices we're seeing export at the moment. I thought that some of the shippers certainly would take a little bit more protection into these prices, but probably only seen prices £5 up from the low. So we are seeing still really good business on the whole and ground maize. It is kind of one of my strong views that if you're looking to fill in your maize requirements, I'd get into the market sooner rather than later. Get your cover on. It does look very competitive. We have as I said, we have been doing a lot of business right through and into next winter. I'm struggling to see a consistent downside movement on this market at the moment. I don't really think it's got very far to run. So I am bearish to the corn market now, possibly. So whether it'll dash off to the upside immediately, I'm unsure. Possibly looking for the next crop predictions and the next data from the USDA report, and whether it comes back a little bit more in line. So certainly be looking to get more cover on. I'm struggling to see a downside as a result.
So what else is that we can talk about then, James? We've covered off the proteins, we've covered off the cereals. What's happening on fibres at the minute?
Yeah, not a lot really on fibres, Chris. We've had a little bit of a slowdown in the last week to 10 days or so. Soya hulls, we did get trading in the mid 130s at one point export for the summer, but we've just creeped back into the early 40s now. Possibly again, we've talked quite a lot about currency in this podcast, but currency importing of the soya hulls will be having an effect on that price. From the shippers, availability seems to be very good. It is a cheap fibre source, so anyone needing a little bit of a top up there, it's certainly still looking attractive. Sugar beets, they're a difficult market. British Sugar and Trident do still have some sugar beets to sell, but it is still priced a little bit expensively. To my beliefs, it is needed on certain farms, but it is priced a little bit expensive at the moment. Kind of still looking at the last winter's price of around early 240s delivered onto farm for Superflow. But there is still opportunity there for sugar beet if you do need it. There is still availability, which can sometimes at this time of year get tight. So not too much excitement really, Chris, on the fibres. You seeing anything different on your side?
No, I think I agree with you there. The hulls, they definitely seem to have bottomed out. The currency has not helped things, but we seem to have really slowed down. But we've got a decent book on for the soya hulls for the summer now. We've seen a little bit of an uptick in demand, I think, with the price having come back as quickly as it did. We've seen a little bit more demand for fibres for the summer, especially the soya hulls.
I'm just trying to think what else we've got going on in the market really, Chris. We're still doing NovaPro, our protected rate meal from Stratford-upon-Avon as well. That continues to sell well, especially in this market that is tight for rape. Again, that those expellers from Stratford as well continue to compete. We are seeing people taking advantage of our last lifeline really there. We've got the different types of maize meals, maize germs, but these will still be trading against the wheat futures, which we are seeing, as I said, at the time of recording this podcast, a very green board at the moment. So prices just starting to generally creep up a bit. So very much a geopolitical market at the moment, the lack of any fundamentals really. So it has just been a little bit quiet the back end of last week and the start of this week. But one thing I'm really, really big on is we get this corn market covered, I think, at the moment.
And I think I'd add to that anything, obviously we've talked about the cereals market and there is, so it feels to me significant risk to the upside. The risk to the upside far outweighs the risk to the downside at this moment in time now. So there's many products that are linked to those markets. A lot of your co-products are intrinsically linked to the global wheat markets. So it would be as good a time as any to keep topping up that cover.
Yeah, good stuff. Don't think I've got anything else left on my pad, Chris, to go at today. So if anybody has any questions from the podcast, please get in touch with the office or in touch with your local sales rep, and we will catch up with you all shortly. Thanks for your time, Chris.
Thanks, James. Speak to everyone soon.